Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia, from the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast. This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of nonstop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Unbelievable breaking news everywhere today, and this is big regarding the classified documents case out of Florida. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. We are so lucky right now to be joined by Julie Kelly. She's been all over this. Political commentator, author of January 6th, How Democrats Use the Capitol Protests to Launch a War on Terror Against the Political Right. Julie, thank you so much for joining me. I know you're in high demand. Appreciate it.
No, thanks so much, Rich, for having me on.
My mind is reeling from this breaking news. Let me understand this now correctly. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, in serving the search warrants at Mar-a-Lago, had the authorization to use deadly force at the home of the President of the United States of America, who's protected by the United States Secret Service?
Correct. So this is related, Rich, to this flurry of unsealed and unredacted documents out of the Southern District of Florida. Judge Aileen Cannon, who is on this crusade, thank God, for transparency and accountability in this dirty, corrupt case. So there is a motion filed today, unredacted, and this is a motion by Donald Trump to suppress all the evidence collected during that August 2022 raid at Mar-a-Lago. Well, attached to this motion is an exhibit, and it is the FBI's operational plan for the Mar-a-Lago raid. And it has stunning details in it, not the least of which is included the FBI's use of deadly force policy and guidance. That was included in the raid documents, along with other really mind-blowing revelations about how this unnecessary, unprecedented, and now potentially dangerous raid was conducted at Mar-a-Lago a few years ago.
I mean, it's mind-boggling. They were authorized to have weapons and ammunition, and as I'm reading the documents, and you've been doing a great job, as you always do, keeping a surprise of this on Twitter, or X, I should say, and they were saying that what would happen if there was a confrontation with the Secret Service?
Correct. So the agents, and there were 25 agents from Miami, 4 agents from the Washington field office. You had one individual from the FBI headquarters. That's highly unusual. Also a top official with DOJ's counterintelligence unit, also highly unusual. But the agents were armed with, and this is directly from the document, standard issue weapon, ammo, and handcuffs. as well as medium and large sized bolt cutters. So as they're walking through what the agents are allowed to bring, they also talk about what would happen if Donald Trump showed up. Of course, he at the time was at his summer home at Bedminster, New Jersey, but they're talking about potential contingencies. What should happen if the former president, they call him F. POTUS, arrives at Mar-a-Lago? And then it goes on to say these agents will be prepared to engage with former president and the U.S. Secret Service security team. Then it goes on, should the Secret Service provide resistance or interfere with FBI timeline or accesses, the FBI will engage with, and this is redacted, possibly their contacts, will engage with Secret Service point of contact per existing relationships. Well, that's all fine and good, but what does that mean? Does it mean they're just going to stand by and have a friendly chat? Who has superiority in that situation? The Secret Service, who is there to defend, you know, the life and property of the former president, or these FBI thugs working at the direction of Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray? So there's a lot more that needs to be, I think, fleshed out related to those elements of this document. But then, Rich, they brought a medic with the FBI team and had a plan, if anyone was injured during this raid, how they would transport that individual to a trauma center about 18 miles away from Mar-a-Lago. Again, totally unnecessary. None of this had to happen. But your mind does kind of, you know, take off a little bit. Imagination kind of runs wild about what potentially could have happened at the hands of this rogue FBI to get what, Rich? A few hundred or so papers with classified markings. That's not what this raid was about.
No, definitely not, Julie. It can't be. It's impossible it could be that when the president's team at the time was going back and forth with the archivist, and this would be a civil matter anyway, they'd be dealing with it from that perspective. No, it can't be about that. It's got to be about something else.
That's right. And, well, obviously it produced the optics that the Biden regime and DOJ wanted, which is that Donald Trump is a criminal, that he stole national security secrets, including nuclear secrets. He was going to share them with our enemies and what, start World War III. So this was all about the optics that Donald Trump is a criminal, right? Even though he was cooperating the entire time, first with the archives, then with DOJ and FBI. Rich, 2 months before this raid, Donald Trump delayed his trip to Bedminster for the summer. He waited for Jay Brett, who is now Jack Smith's lead prosecutor. Jay Brett was in charge of the investigation at the time, to meet Jay Brett and three FBI investigators at Mar-a-Lago. He welcomed them into his home. He said, whatever you need help with, I'm here to help. He had his team scrambling for weeks trying to find these documents pursuant to another subpoena. There was absolutely no reason 2 months later they needed to conduct this armed raid with potential deadly consequences. So it's just, and then to think about Merrick Garland last week, stand and tell the American people that politics plays no role in the decisions made by his Department of Justice, and then read something like this. You know, what country are we living in?
The question that I have for you, Julie Kelly, is, do you think there's any merit to the, I don't know, the theory out there that they were looking for declassified documents related to Crossfire Hurricane and they wanted to get those out of the former president's possession?
I mean, at first, Rich, I'll tell you, I sort of dismissed that, even though, as you know, I covered a lot of the Crossfire Hurricane scandal. But I kind of blew that off. But I'm telling you, the more that I see of this, ransacking Melania's room, ransacking Barron's room, going anywhere that they possibly could to find, you know, papers or books, or it's even listed as binders in some of this new material today that was found in Melania's room. And then reading some of the FBI transcripts, the interviews of what FBI agents were asking Mar-a-Lago employees, it wasn't like, hey, can you help us? You know, we're missing this nuclear secret document.
Right.
It was, well, how does he store his documents? Where does he put them? Does he ever take them in the residence? Does he ever take them in Melania's suite? Does he ever take them outside of, you know, the main area? It was clear that they were trying to get a hold of exactly where perhaps those Crossfire Hurricane documents were. So this could be the next bombshell. As you know, Judge Cannon is, she just authorized the unsealing of 10 more motions today that we should be getting soon. I wish I had more of me to try to keep up with all of it, but
we could. Well, you're doing a phenomenal job.
Oh, well, thank you. But we could at some point discover that that was one of the reasons or the key reason for all of this from the very beginning.
Yeah, I mean, even, you know, beyond the optics of making him look like a criminal, there's something else here. And lastly, and I know you got to run, but the other part of this that came out today, very disturbing, is that the special counsel trying to pressure Trump's lawyers to essentially now betray attorney-client privilege.
Exactly right. So there's another file. Yes, this transcript that was filed December of 2022, a grand jury proceeding. So this wasn't just like a regular interrogation. This is before a grand jury in Washington, D.C., who were considering charges for classified documents. And you had, again, one of these thug prosecutors, Julie Edelstein, who still works for special counsel Jack Smith, pressuring his lawyer at the time, Tim Parlatore, to violate attorney-client privilege and tell the grand jury about conversations he had with the president at the time. And Parlatore really fought back and was like, are you kidding me? We're really doing this right now? And she said, well, you said that he authorized, you know, you could tell the truth, you could say anything. And he, of course, pushed back and said, well, not related to attorney-client privilege communications. And so just more evidence of the dirty tricks that this DOJ deploys every single time it has something to do with Donald Trump.
It's just unbelievable. Julie, thank you. Thank you for all you're doing on this. And follow Julie. It's essential that you do. You're the best. I mean, thank God you're out there. Follow Julie at Julie_Kelly2. Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it very much.
Thanks for having me on. Talk soon.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Cioli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
All right, gosh, where to even go with that, right? There's so much to this. All right, the other thing that I wanted to mention is, as we're watching here this, you know, the end game here, the closing arguments beginning on Tuesday of next week, the other thing that I keep coming back to is the politics of all of this. You know, this was intended to hurt Donald Trump, obviously, and it hasn't had that effect. And now they're dealing with a president who, well, let's play it again. The bill that he signed into law, let's see if you can figure out what this bill is, and maybe it helps your family, and maybe it changes everything and changes the trajectory of the election for Joe Biden. Take a listen.
Let me close with this. After I signed the PAC Act into law,
Pink Cadillac Act into law. This guy has lost his freaking mind. Even Bill Maher said on The View today that Biden is like dealing with a cadaver. He was also on with Gutfeld last night. I'm not going to comment. I don't want to get in trouble. But I'm just I would have handled it differently. It's all I'm going to say. I would have handled it. If had I been the host of that show, I would have handled it differently. So I'm just going to leave it at that. I'm not going to say more. I'm already in trouble, and he's blocked me on Twitter. But anyway, I'm not going to say more. So, you know, I would have handled it very differently. If it was me, I'm just saying. So, should be my show. It really should be my show. I mean, look at his face. How many comments I've gotten with you have a face for radio? Hey, listen, if you tweet that comment or you write that comment on Instagram, please don't think you're original. I know I have a face for radio. I don't even have a face for radio. I have a face for newspaper. But don't like, you're not creative. You're not funny. I've heard that a million times already. What's next? You're going to talk about make fun of my love handles? I got it. I get it. Yeah. I get it.
You've also made the joke about yourself a million times.
Right. Exactly. I have a face for radio. I have hair for television, but a face for radio. I mean, look at this coif. You can see it on YouTube right now. We're streaming live on YouTube, as we do every day at 5 o'clock for the 5 o'clock happy hour, brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we're going to be next live June 21st. You can see this face for radio and this hair for TV in person, if you like, along with Matt and Henry. We'll be there live June 21st, GrandHotelOfCapeMay.com, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. That's the website, GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Here's Bill Maher. On with the corpses on the view, cut 18.
I'm nervous about saying anything against Biden because I feel, you know, not that I have so much power, and you have some more than I do, obviously. But
oh, I don't know about that.
Are you afraid that you might, you know, influence people who are on the fence?
I think you lose all credibility. I do. I mean, my bond with my audience has always been I don't pull a punch.
Yeah.
My bond with my audience is you're not going to like everything I say,
yeah.
But you know I'm saying what I really think is true.
Right.
That's... Look, Biden just presents as old. It's not really fair.
No.
Because he's almost the same age. Trump is almost the same age as him.
I know.
But Trump doesn't present that way. You know, you look at somebody right away, you can kind of just sum them up. I mean, we are not young. But we don't present as old.
Yeah.
Biden does. I saw him yesterday making that speech.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry. He's cadaver-like.
But his brain is good. He's still great.
Well, here's what I said. Like, when I came back after the strike in September, I said, he should get out. Because he's just lost the faith of people. It's not fair. He's actually done a pretty good job.
Yeah.
But I said, he's going to be Ruth Bader Biden. That's the term I use.
Uh-huh.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She stayed too long at the fair.
Yeah.
I remember Obama had her over to the White House, like in 2013, to hint, you know, hey, spend more time with the grandkids. That would not be a good idea, Ruth. And she didn't take the hint, and she was not in good health, and she stayed too long, and she ruined her legacy and got the Supreme Court now to be a pretty right-wing organization. Said Biden shouldn't do that, but, you know, ego, he's Dracula. He has crossed oceans of time to be here, and he's not going to give it up now.
Let me just say, for the record, today a former Obama official came out and said that if Trump gets elected, he could appoint 5 more conservative justices of the Supreme Court. Forget the Ruth Bader Ginsburg analogy for Biden being Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The problem for them is that they're worried that you've got other members on that court, and if Trump gets in there, he's going to get to appoint those justices. If they take Biden out of this race, it's going to be for 2 reasons. Reason number 1, obviously, is that the deep state does not want Trump coming back. It's the revenge tour, and it will be the revenge tour. And you know what? Good. Because the executive branch of government is too powerful. It's way too big. Obviously, when you've got the arrogance of a DOJ and an FBI that'll send armed FBI agents to go raid the former president's home looking for documents that... What's the big threat here? Is it, by the way, the nuclear codes are digital. They're not analog, and they change all the time. So it's not like even if Trump did have the nuclear codes, he could use them or do anything with them. That's number one. Number two, this lie that he was going to sell secrets to Iran or something or North Korea. These were lies. These were manufactured lies. So my point is the deep state does not want him back in, obviously. Today we heard from Janet Yellen about how Ukraine's future, Ukraine's security is about America's national economic security. So as we're giving Ukraine billions more dollars, we're hearing from the Secretary of the Treasury saying that's Ukraine's security is directly tied to our economic security. The deep state does not want Trump back. They absolutely will do everything they possibly can to stop him. But the other reason they don't want him back in there is the Supreme Court. And just like I told you in 2016, you know, back then, I know everybody was on Team Trump in 2016, right after the primary was over, everybody came on board and joined in. I know, right? And I wasn't having to plead with anybody who was a Republican voter or a conservative to say, please vote for Trump. I know that never happened. Everybody was right on board. And there was nobody who was never on another team back then, just so you know, because everybody reinvents history. It's remarkable. But I digress. The point is that I said back in 2016, I don't care if you're angry at Trump. I don't care if you don't think Trump's really a conservative. I don't care if you think the National Review articles were correct. I don't care if you're mad about Ted Cruz's wife. And I don't care. All you need to think about right now is this. You need to think about who is going to get to appoint justices for the United States Supreme Court. Okay, that's what you got to think about. That's what you got to think about. And this, and that's exactly what the former Obama people now are warning. So if you have this cadaver there and he loses to Trump, and he's going to, because Trump's going to beat him. And this is the problem for the Democrats right now, is that all their little legal machinations and everything they tried to do to stop him didn't work. Now Biden's in there. Biden's running for re-election. Biden's going to lose, and Trump's going to get the sack to the Supreme Court. They will not risk, they will not risk Donald Trump being able to take on the deep state and pack the Supreme Court with even more conservative justices. I'm telling you, they're not going to take that risk. They'll do whatever they got to do, but they're not going to risk it. And if these polls keep going in this trajectory, by the time the Democrat National Convention gets here in August, I'm just saying. I'm just simply saying here. This is a clip I wanted to play you now. And if they were to ever take Biden out of the race, I think the way they would do it is they would have him pardon his son and then go on this whole thing about how he's being a dad first and he's got to put his family first. And so he knows that by pardoning Hunter, this means at the end of his political career, but he doesn't care because he's got to do what's right for his son, and his son's a recovering drug addict, and the pressure could lead him to using again. And Biden has already apparently expressed all these positions, so it's not a big leap. But here is a PBS Washington Week seeing the dangerous Republican Party and how sad they are that the Hunter trial may make Joe unhappy. It was a Friday Washington Week with The Atlantic. As they were discussing all kinds of different things, moderator Jeffrey Goldberg led the feisty journalists in the discussion, including Laura Baron Lopez of PBS NewsHour, Eugene Daniels of Politico, Susan Glasser of The New Yorker, and Steve Inskeep of National Public Radio. Cut two.
Trump has been slapped with a gag order.
Right.
And so they are going up there and doing what he can't do, which is circumventing the gag order for him, standing outside the courtroom, attacking the system, attacking the judge's daughter, attacking, you know, everything about what is unfolding in New York, because he can't do that or he may end up in jail.
Right.
And so that's also a part of this. And then I think another thing that we should mention is that when they're up there, you know, Matt Gaetz, who also was dressed like Trump, mm-hmm. and the other Republicans, the congressmen from Florida, he tweeted out, President, we're standing back and standing mm-hmm. by, which is a very clear nod to what former President Trump said during the 2020 debate, where he said to the Proud Boys, stand back and stand by. And those Proud Boys ended up on the steps of the Capitol on January 6th, leading that insurrection.
Yeah, you might have actually hit on the most ominous aspect of this past week, that very direct call for preparation for some kind of disobedience. Mm-hmm. You wanted to add something.
Yeah, because I mean, that part of it is probably the most important. It's ominous, but it's also something that we've seen over and over again. I think the folks that are paying attention right now, we're all kind of nervous about it, but the American people really aren't making those kinds of connections, right? They when you talk to the American people, they say Congress is broken versus the Republican Party is, you know, all going on the Acela up to New York to dress the same, to defend Donald Trump, to do all the things he can't do, and also to wink.
Let's stop it right here for a second here. Now think about this. All these elites, these Washington elites, who can't believe the American people don't see what's really happening here in terms of the danger that Trump is, and that the American people care about something else besides this freaking trial, right? This is the dichotomy that exists between Washington and particularly people in the Washington corporate media, and then America. All right, this is the great dichotomy there. These are the faculty lounge people who sit there and go, the fact that the American people don't care about this. See, look, John Fetterperson may be pulling a long con here. Long con, as they say, it's very possible. But regardless of whether he's pulling a long con or not, he's reflective. I've told you, he's a mirror into Pennsylvania. So when John Fetterperson comes out and says, you know what, I ask people all the time, they don't know what this trial's about. I don't know what this trial's about. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody cares. But think of that. I mean, he's the guy trying to relate to the man on the street in Pennsylvania. These idiots from PBS and Washington Week and all these other people, again, it's the putting you down. They can't grasp how you don't find this to be more consequential to America's future. And to the threat, they don't understand how you don't get up every day and eat, breathe, and drink January the 6th. They can't understand this. And this is why the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge, to quote James Carville. They're so out of touch with America. It's unbelievable. And all these people in this group here, these are not journalists. These are all Washington hacks. All right, keep going.
To dress the same, to defend Donald Trump, to do all the things he can't do, and also to wink and nod to the most dangerous aspects of the Republican Party, or the most dangerous aspects of the Trump base, that, hey, we may need you to do something here. And it's, this would be hyperbolic if the insurrection hadn't happened on January 6th. We've seen this already play out multiple times.
So you see now, they're going on with this idea that when Trump's outside the courthouse, he's doing dog whistles again to people. Dog whistles, I guess, for another insurrection or a takeover of America or something like this. You know, the only people who've used weapons for political purposes in this country are Biden's Department of Justice. What we talked about with Julie Kelly, with the FBI being authorized to use deadly force at Mar-a-Lago as they go to raid the home of the former president of the United States of America, who's surrounded by Secret Service agents. They're the people that are using guns in this country for political purposes, it's Biden's DOJ. In all these cases, it's Biden's DOJ and his government goons who are out there arresting pro-life leaders, arresting people for praying at abortion clinics and everything else. It's surprisingly not MAGA people who are, I mean, MAGA people are the ones that they're spying on. So if you've got a Cabela's fishing hat, if you bought a gun, if you have bullets, a Bible, whatever it is, yeah, you're on a list, no doubt about it. But you're not doing anything. You're just going about your day, living your life. But they keep saying that at any moment now, you or that mom in yoga pants next to you, you could be, you know, you hear the dog whistle and you go out there and lead a deadly revolution, insurrection, whatever it is. Meanwhile, what's actually happening in Biden's America is that the United States Department of Justice is weaponized and is going after the former president of the United States of America at his house, with armed FBI agents at his home, wondering what would happen if the armed Secret Service agents around the president, what would happen if there was a confrontation? Could you imagine that scenario? I mean, thank God nothing came of it like that, but let's stop with this nonsense that you and I are the threats here. What are we doing other than trying to keep our families safe and trying to fight for this country? What have we done wrong? Nothing. But we're the ones labeled constantly as being the domestic violent extremist, a potential insurrectionist, and blah, blah, blah. It is their talking point. The good news, though, is that it's falling on deaf ears. It's falling on deaf ears. Now, you know what's not falling on deaf ears? What was said last night by Jen Psaki, who said, and she claimed that she's a journalist, and she got a good laugh from the audience over this, when the former White House press secretary, Jen Snarky Snarks Psaki, actually claimed to be a journalist, just like George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist Jen Psaki. So I will, from this point forward now, refer to her as the unbiased journalist Jen Psaki. So we now have two names for the unbiased journalist. We have the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, the OG unbiased journalist, and now the unbiased journalist Jen Psaki. Crowd wasn't buying it, though. Take a listen.
You switched to journalism, essentially. Would you think you're a journalist?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. Hey, sure. Listen, I think I'm 6'2". And as you can see on this YouTube, I'm not. But I think I am. And I think I have a face for TV and hair for TV. But I only have one. But I'll tell you who's not laughing right now is Mr. Cameron, the rapper Mr. Cameron, to CNN. This is my favorite clip I've ever heard in my life, and I wish we could show this video on YouTube. We can't, though, can we?
We don't have the ability
to do that.
I don't know how to.
Only the fancy morning show gets to do that, right?
Well, they got a whole team.
Yeah, that gets. We have basically, it's like, you know, the three of us and a couple of hamsters and, you know, a copy machine, a fax machine.
We don't even have hamsters or a copy machine that works.
Fair enough. Well, here's rapper Mr. Cameron to CNN. They're trying to talk to him about Diddy, and he's sitting there, and I'll explain it to you. He's got a black hat on, black sunglasses, black T-shirt, and as the woman's asking him questions, he's drinking something and showing it to the camera. Take a listen.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I mean, is there something known in the industry about how Diddy treated his artists?
So I'm going to get some cheeks after this horsepower joint. I'm just going off what Mace said. Mace,
what does that mean?
I don't really.
Do we know what that means? Going to get me some cheeks?
So I mean,
no, Henry.
I mean, I know what that means.
Don't say
it. I don't. Yeah, I can't say it explicitly.
In my mind, I think I know what it means. He means guancale, pig's cheek. He's a chef.
I can't say Cameron's doing that.
Well, think of where you may find cheeks.
I'm just trying to reenact this with my Gatorade and be like, sorry, I'm gonna get me some cheeks after this horsepower drink. Do you think that horsepower drink? Do you think they gave that to Biden at the State of the Union address? That horsepower drink?
I certainly hope not.
I'm gonna get me some cheeks after this horsepower drink.
He might be labeled an erectionist if he was taking that drink before a debate or anything.
Oh, is it that good? Is it that powerful?
That's what it's kind of meant to do, if you catch my drift.
Hmm.
That's what he was alluding to.
Alexa, add horsepower drink to my shopping list. Wait, what? All right, 855-839-1210 on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. We have Congressman Scott Perry joining us next. Biden, of course, defying the Supreme Court and now trying to do more to pay off people's student loans. It's a bribe, it's a scam, and Congressman Scott Perry is trying to fight back against that. We'll talk to him straight ahead, so don't go anywhere. But I do want to tell you about my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding, because your home deserves the protection and peace of mind of great siding, doors, windows, all of it. It's great. And Emmons does it better than anybody. Emmons does it better than anyone, and I've used them for years. They serve our entire region, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, and the Jersey Shore. And because they know times are tough right now, my great friends Matt and Stephanie at Emmons are offering each and every one of my listeners 10% off. It's their inflation relief discount. 10% off Anderson windows, doors, siding, and of course, a roof, where you get a lifetime warranty with the best in the business, Owens Corning Shingle, EmmonsRoofing.com. Reach out to them today. I've used them for every project. They just replaced two doors for me, and they're going to be back doing some more work for me very, very soon. EMMONS, EmmonsRoofing.com. Make sure that you tell them I sent you, and trust the team at Emmons just like I have for all these years. And remember, 10% off Anderson window replacement, doors, siding, and yes, roofing at EmmonsRoofing.com.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The only show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Oh, yeah, we got a lot to get to. Breaking news all around us. White House forced to correct Biden's countless errors, 9 brutal corrections in his latest speech. Big story of the day, though, brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Vanari of VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. 2 locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury, New Jersey. Reach out to him. But Biden keeps trying to bribe everybody with student loan repayments, and it is a bribe, an election year bribe. But at least one man's trying to do something about it. He's Congressman Scott Perry. He has introduced legislation to make colleges and universities more affordable while also trying to fight against Biden's unlawful student loan repayment. Hello, Congressman. How are you?
Well, it's great to be with you. A lot of news today. But yeah, there's a lot of people that have worked hard, worked 2 or 3 jobs, saved money, what have you, to go to college. And of course, there's a lot of people that couldn't afford to go, but yet they get to pay for the people that have a student loan and now are making, you know, 6 figures or whatever. And there's a lot of people that, you know, are just making ends meet. And so part of the equation here, quite honestly, is the schools themselves that continue to offer educations for vocations which either don't exist or you can't get employment in, or if you do get employment in that vocation, you can't make enough money to pay your bills or the student loan. And so we're trying to incentivize the learning institutions by saying, look, if you co-sponsor the loan, then you will get a lower interest rate. So the student pays less. The school has some skin in the game. And of course, if they co-sponsor the loan, they're going to have the incentive to see you be able to pay it back. And so they're going to offer a vocation that you can use then with the money that you earn from the education you got at the school to pay back your student loan. Now, of course, this is all voluntary. I'm not a big mandate guy, especially when it comes from the government. So we're trying to think of a creative way to incentivize the learning institutions to have some skin in the game and offer vocations where the people that get the education can actually pay for the loan. And then the school gets to control the kind of the finances, so they get something out of it. And the student gets to pay less money for the education that they're receiving. So they get something out of it. And the government's out of it, which is awesome.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I think that'd be ideal. And there's an incentive then for schools to actually keep prices down and stop the exorbitant increases in college that just right now, with the way the government does it, there's no disincentive to them to keep raising tuition rates whatsoever. Your plan would change as I see it.
That's exactly right. If you want to see the prices go up on something, just subsidize it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we've seen. The federal government continues to subsidize higher education, and the institution of higher education just keep charging more. And students and families are saying, well, we can't afford this. But they say it to the government. They never say anything to the institutions which keep charging more, like somehow they're absolved. Well, they're not absolved. Now, I would say, too, if the government would quit paying all this exorbitant money, that institutions would have to, have to deal with the reality of the market. But they don't have to deal with the reality of the market, which is why they can also offer education into vocations that, you know, where people can't actually make a living. They can't get a job in that vocation. So many people have spent all this money on student loans and time on education, and they can't get a job in their chosen field because either the job doesn't exist or there's no money to be made in that field and they can't afford their bills. What good is that education then?
Yeah, well said. But what do we do about Biden right now? He's trying to bribe people with the student loan repayments, and he's trying to bribe a lot of people in Pennsylvania right now with this.
Well, you know, all we can do is inform people, and there's a certain amount of people that are going to be very happy to have their loans and their responsibility is absolved. And that's just a reality. I mean, in a way, you can't blame them, right? They're looking out for their economic best interest. And if somebody else wants to pay their loan, they're going to be happy to let them do it. But the vast majority of us are paying the loan or paying for, you know, when they say forgiveness, well, you know, it's not really forgiveness. It's everybody else is paying for student loans that we never took out and for educations that we never got. And I think when we inform people of that, you know, they're going to be irritated by that, and rightly so. This isn't the responsibility that they've taken on. These aren't, in many cases, their children or anybody they even know, in most cases, right? But yet they get to pay the bill. And you're right, the bribery doesn't stop there. We just found out today that, the president is going to release more gasoline from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, you know, which is strategic. It's for emergencies. It's not for political emergencies where your policies are destroying people's ability to pay their bills and buy gasoline. Those are your decisions. But he's going to try and bribe people with lower gas prices that, you know, where he has created the higher gas price. For 3.5 years, he's created it. And now 6 months before the election, he's going to take the money that you've used in your taxes to buy petroleum for an emergency and put it out on the open market for China to buy. And so it reduces the price to you, and think that, you know, you're not going to know how that happened. You always count on people being misinformed or underinformed, which is why our weapon of choice has to be to inform people so that they can make the good decision based on the facts.
Congressman Scott Perry's with me. Before I let you go, I got to ask you about what's going on with this border vote on Thursday. I saw Mayorkas was on Fox News before saying they're going to do some trial run for a border vote. What's that all about?
Well, this is the Senate bill that Mayorkas helped to engineer. And, you know, why would we count on the guy that we impeached over his dereliction of duty on the border to write any policy about securing the border? This is just politics at play here. Chuck Schumer wants to blame Republicans for the border crisis that, yet again, they have created for 3.5 years. All they've done is open, you know, roll out the welcome mat to anybody across the globe that wants to come, including criminals, drug dealers, cartel members, you name it. And now all of a sudden, because the American people have had enough, now they somehow want to act like they're sincerely wanting to fix it. And they also want to act like that they've always wanted to fix it and Republicans are the problem. This bill does nothing to fix the problem. It actually exacerbates the problem. And at the end of the day, I don't think he's going to even have enough Democrat votes to pass this, especially if Menendez is in court. So, but that's what this is about. It's just the blame game now that they've been caught destroying America, and people are fed up with it. Now they want to shift the blame to the Republican Party and away from themselves.
Last question for you, Congressman Scott Perry. Yep. I'm sure you know the breaking news that the FBI was authorized to use deadly force at the raid of Mar-a-Lago to get the so-called classified documents from former President Donald Trump. I mean, what do you make of that? The armed FBI agents at the home of the former president of the United States of America, who's, you know, protected by the United States Secret Service.
Yeah, I will tell you this. A lot of people say that when you use the word tyranny, that it's over the top. It's, you know, something from the 1700s or something like that. This is abject and unbelievable tyranny. And the way I look at it is this: a guy that worked in the military, when we were doing an operation, everybody was briefed on the rules of engagement, what would invoke the rules of engagement. You don't want to be making a mistake at that moment. You don't want to be having a question. That they allowed for the deadly use of force were a documents case where the president of the United States was cooperating. It just leads me to believe that maybe Biden was looking to take out his opponent in the most final way possible and have the FBI do it. It is astounding to me.
Yeah, it's like something out of a novel or a movie, or I mean, I can't even say it's something out of another country at this point. It's beyond that. And you got to wonder what they were really looking for, right? I mean, what were they really trying to get their hands on that day? And I'm still convinced it has everything to do with Operation Crossfire Hurricane. I really believe that.
Well, a lot of people do, and you got to say, what was a documents case? What is worth the use of deadly force against the president and his family? I mean, I think that's a legitimate question. If they included deadly force in the briefing, and apparently they did, or at least allegedly they did. So I haven't read it, but that's the news. Well, what documents can be so important that it's that the value is worthy of potentially taking the life of the former president, the potential future president, and his family. What documents have that kind of value? And I would really like to know that.
Congressman Scott Perry, always a pleasure, my friend. I appreciate it. Your bill is excellent to make colleges and universities more affordable, get government out of it. I hope it gets the real traction it deserves. And I appreciate you being here. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. God bless you and your audience. Have a great, safe day.
Thanks for listening to the Scioli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Odyssey app.
You know, when I was on Saturday, Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla Saturday night, I made a joke about having done debate prep with Trump in the past and doing debate prep with Biden now, which consists of basically giving him an IV of, and I don't spoil the joke for you, but Trump's also demanding that Biden get a drug test ahead of the State of the Union address or ahead of the debates that are coming up. Kamala Harris is going to be debating apparently as well. I can't wait to hear what kind of word salad she's going to be tossing out there on the stage that night, but she'll be debating. And the question, of course, is who will Trump's number two pick be? Now, I don't know. He said he was supposed to be meeting with about 15 or so people, but obviously being in court, and you know, he wasn't able to meet with them, and that's a problem. It's a damn shame. A couple other things I wanted to mention to you, and today has just been an insane day with breaking news all over the place, and we get a lot of that. I mean, there's a lot of breaking news always on the Afternoon Drive show. It's always the way it is, but there is a question regarding what happens if. I'm just seeing some more breaking news. Something around that classified documents are found, I guess, in Trump's bedroom at Mar-a-Lago. I think we know this. All right. The other thing was part of what we talked about Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Failla was our tacos sandwiches. All right. Our tacos sandwiches. That was because a judge, an Indiana court, ruled that tacos are sandwiches. We were also going to get into the question of whether or not who's got the best burger chain? And I think it was going to be, again, I think something like, would you ever use a gift card on a first date? We talked about that as well. So if you missed the show, parts of it are on Instagram. I'm going to keep uploading more parts to share with you and everything like that. But we also got into some of the other stuff, too, about we made a joke. Jimmy and I made a joke the other day about having vowels at the end of our last name and how the FBI was listening. Well, I want you to know that one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Goodfellas, and Jimmy and Fela and I, you know, we've become very good friends over the years. He always said that him getting his own show on Fox News was our version of the Lufthansa heist. Which obviously, if you know the movie Goodfellas, you know what I'm talking about. So it was our version of the Lufthansa heist. And Jimmy has said that on this show before many times. We've always talked about the idea that when I get a show, I'm going to be bringing you on my TV show all the time. And he's kept his word. He's great. He's a man of his word. But when it comes to the movie Goodfellas, AMC is now slapping Goodfellas with a trigger warning for offensive content that includes cultural stereotypes. That's right. AMC Networks added a trigger warning to Goodfellas. And here's what it says. Quote, the film includes language and or cultural stereotypes that are inconsistent with today's standards of inclusion and tolerance and may offend some viewers. Now, first of all, as an Italian, I can tell you I've never in my life ever been offended by any of the so-called stereotypes of Goodfellas. The other thing is that Goodfellas is a true story. So Goodfellas is based on a true story. So I don't know how you have cultural stereotypes when you're doing a true story about an actual guy who actually was in the mafia and then actually turned state's evidence. I don't know how you have cultural stereotypes in that movie, but nevertheless, this is where we are now. The warning for Goodfellas apparently doesn't apply to other mob flicks, so thank God. The Godfather has a more standard viewer discretion warning covering brief nudity, strong language, and intense violence. Bo Dietl, a former NYPD cop who played a police officer in Goodfellas, said, the effing political correctness has effing taken everything away. This is how life was back then. It was not a clean, beautiful thing. You can't cleanse history. If you want to tell true history, you got to tell it the way it is. Michael Franzese, a one-time captain of the Colombo crime family, said he was amused by the note. He said, "We don't need anyone protecting mob guys. It's crazy." Now, this is unarguably one of the best mob flicks ever made. Now, I always have this debate, of course, which is, what's better, Goodfellas or Godfather? The answer is Godfather. But if Goodfellas is on, then at that moment, it's a better movie, just in that moment. Because no question about it, is one of the absolute best. And please tell me you two have seen Goodfellas, right?
Yeah, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. All right, good. Do we need a stereotype warning for Goodfellas? Does anybody ask for this?
No, that's stupid.
Huh?
You know what you're getting.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be honored if I was so good at cutting garlic, it would just dissolve in the pan while I was in prison.
You know, I've tried that so many times. Honestly, you really do have to use a razor. He's right. What's his name? The character, Paul, the actor, passed away. Yes, thank you. He was so good in that. Using the razor to slice the garlic real thin, you know? Oh, it's beautiful.
Joe Pesci is incredible in that movie.
Well, that scene with, you know, what am I, a clown, is still probably one of the... I mean, probably that meme of that scene is probably used more than maybe any other movie meme ever, I think.
Yeah, it was used in the Curb Your Enthusiasm finale.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Jerry went up to a guy and said, like, hey, you look like Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. And he's like, oh, really? Do I? Do I look like a clown? Like,
no,
took it the wrong
no
way.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Wow. All right. Well, there you go. I mean, that's, I see, it's that, I love that movie so much. And then, you know, the real Henry Hill in real life, he would go on Howard Stern's show all the time. I don't think even he'd be caught dead going on that show nowadays. Because he's so woke, you know what I mean? But the saddest part of that movie is when they whack Joe Pesci, don't you think?
Well, don't spoil it for everyone.
Don't spoil it. It's 75 years old. What are you talking about?
A lot of people haven't seen it, I bet.
Who hasn't seen Goodfellas in this audience?
Yeah, that's one movie. I think everyone's seen it.
Yeah.
Well, you've destroyed the ending for anyone who hasn't.
Well, it's not the ending, but it's an important, crucial part of the movie. But it's not the ending of the movie.
Well, it's the ending of Joe Pesci, and in my opinion, he's the best part of that film.
No, that's a meme.
Fine. That's a meme?
That's a meme, yeah. You see that a lot.
Yeah, because that's the moment where, you know, you think your life's about to turn in, then all of a sudden, you know, you get right behind, boom, you know? And De Niro, as much as he's a psycho, and he is a psycho in real life, his reaction to finding out the news in that, oh, man, that is a great scene.
Oh, man.
Oh, I gotta rewatch Goodfellas tonight. All right, that's all I gotta do. Patrick's got a game. I'm gonna come home and open a bottle of wine and rewatch Goodfellas for the 148th time this week. All right, listen, Dr. Mike Veneria would love to see you. It's special occasion season, you know, before we get into our fourth and final hour. Special occasion season means your smile is gonna be in a lot of pictures. Weddings and graduations and all kinds of parties and summer barbecues and summer in general. So, if you need a great smile, go see my man, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. He will give you the smile of your dreams, and he has two offices to serve you, Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Now, Mama Zioli first discovered Dr. Mike for our family several years ago, but people have been going to him for decades. And for over 10 consecutive years, he has been recognized as a master of dental implants by his peers and a master of implant dentistry and dental industry in general, dental artistry. So if you need complicated dental work, if you've already gotten an opinion, get a second opinion with Dr. Mike. It's worth it. Trust me. He's a good man, and he's got a great staff working with him, great music playing in the office, and he's a movie buff, too, when it comes to things like Goodfellas. So you have a good chat with him. He's a great guy. VeneriaDental.com. It's V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VeneriaDental.com. My buddy, my friend, and the master of dental implants, Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Rich Zioli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7, Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.